Blog Talk Radio.
It's that time again, another episode of Sports Card Live. We take a magnifying glass to the sports card industry. News, reviews, thoughts, the occasional tangents, and free stuff. Hosted by Dan Rage, Ryan, and Doug Fresh. Boom!
Oh yeah. Big victory for my Niners, Pack Rippers, and Sports Nuts. Welcome to another edition of Sports Card Live. We got an exciting episode. We're going to be joined by Sergio from Sports Card Album. We're going to talk about the site. I think it's an awesome site. I just signed up yesterday, uploaded some of my collection, and just kind of navigating the site. It's a pretty sick site, so we're going to talk to him about that. We got some reviews on some recent products like Prism Jumbo that came out last week, Pastime, so we'll hit you up on that. Talk a little NFL playoffs, Hall of Fame if we get to it, and talk about another buyback product because we'd like to talk about buyback products. But there was one that came out last week kind of under the radar with a company that nobody's ever heard of, and we'll talk about that one. Man. NFL playoffs are here and some great matchups. What's up, Dan? How's it going?
What's going on? What was that going on in the intro?
That was a Kaepernick commercial. If you haven't seen it, that's the song that plays on his commercial now. So,
wow. Just I would say you're a homer, but that's pretty obvious. So. That goes without saying. It's cool. That guy, I like Kaepernick. He's got good sportsmanship. Real quality athlete.
he's driving some 2011 products right now. We've seen a little bit of a hype. Well, actually, probably Cam Newton and Kaepernick both kind of helped some 2011 like playbook and plates and patches kind of spike up a little bit on the secondary market. So, Ryan, what's going on, man?
Not much. Trying some new audio equipment over here. So if I sound like crap, just give me the hey-ho sign.
Nice. You sound amazing. No homo.
Yeah, it sounds killer.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to.
Probably sound like crap now. So you got the golden voice. So.
I'll have to listen to this afterwards and just make sure that it's hunky-dory. When I was testing it beforehand, I noticed that it would cut out a little bit when I was talking, but I seem to be hearing you guys fine, so I'll have to listen to this back and just make sure that it's okay.
It sounds great. What are you using? What's different?
I'm calling through Skype on a laptop I have, and then I actually have had a really nice microphone that my dad gave me a while ago. So I just finally stopped being lazy and plugged it in, and I had a bunch of Skype credit too. So hopefully this worked. So
nice. Well, it's the NFL couldn't have written it any better. Sorry for the English there. I suck at talking. But we got Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and then we got Kaepernick and Wilson. I mean, you got the old school pocket presence passers against the new school running quarterbacks with the tough defenses. I mean, this is what most people predicted at the beginning of the year was going to happen. It is here, and it's going to be some exciting football on Sunday. And I'm trying to translate this to what it goes for the card market. And I'm looking at a few guys that could get some bumps based on play. I mean, you got Kendrell Tompkins this year and Quentin Patton that maybe if they make an impact, you'd be able to, offload their cards. Crabtree, Demaryius Thomas, Aaron Dobson, Eric Reed. One guy that kind of benefited if you still held on to the LeGarrette Blount rookie cards that you had. You didn't throw them in the trash or, use them as beer coasters. You were able to you know, make a little bit of a change on some LeGarrette Blunts. It looked like some of his base autos selling for $11 or $12, which weeks prior to that were, you know, struggling at 50 cents. So, you know, that's a big increase on investment there. So, LeGarrette Blount, and I mean, what do you think? Who do you think?
You're forgetting. You're getting Doug Baldwin, Golden Tate. I mean, is it just a coincidence that you didn't name any Seattle players, or is that just what you're trying to do?
I don't know if they have any standouts on their team, really. I just kind of struggling to see that. Maybe Christ and Michael. You know, you could put him in there. That's the only guy I see that has any talent on their team. Maybe it's because I have one of his cards, but.
Robert Turbin.
Never heard of him.
Doug Baldwin's a beast, man. You guy's a beast.
Who? Who?
You'll know. You'll know on Sunday.
Man, I got to lay off the peyote.
Never heard of him, man. Really haven't heard of him. So we'll see. I mean, there's going to be one of those guys. I mean, if you guys had to pick one, that you're even on a small level, if you buy some $5 autos, who do you think that you could invest in and flip like real quick if they have a potential breakout game? Obviously, you're not going to be investing in Manning or Brady or Kaepernick because their prices are so high. But who do you think is maybe a sleeper to make some impact in the next few weeks and then maybe the Super Bowl, and you'll be able to unload and make some money on them?
I'll let Ryan take that.
Sorry.
Well, how about, I mean, Kendall Hunter, I like the Quentin Patton suggested. So there's two guys on the Niners. I guess we were only supposed to pick one. So I'm definitely rooting for the Niners. So I'm going to say Quentin Patton because you can get his stuff right now probably cheap. Or Kendall Hunter. I mean, it's a toss-up right there. So who knows? I mean, Gore is obviously going to get the ball a lot, but – Kendall Hunter's cards are probably pretty cheap, so you know it's not worth or if you have some, dig them out of your closet and get them on Sports Card Album or get them on eBay or something and get ready to unload them. So this is a good time to move football stuff of any of these four teams coming up. If you have stuff on Check Out My Cards, go through, lower all your prices. So Kendall Hunter and Quentin Patton for me, two names there.
Yeah, and I'm just looking at the Quentin Patton sales. I mean, you can get a Contenders base auto right now for $5 or $6, you know. And it's live, too, which a lot of his stuff actually was redemptions this year, or some of it was. So it's live. If I kind of flash back to Randall Cobb when his first game, when he had a 115-yard touchdown return, and his stuff just jumped. So all it takes for football is just, you know, Quentin Patton could literally have, you know, five catches, 100 yards, and one TD, and you'll double your money. So that's all it takes with football. Dan, who do you pick?
Well, I already kind of gave it away. I'm Doug Baldwin, Stanford. And you can probably still find some Eric Decker stuff relatively cheap. I know he's not, like, under the radar, but I know he had a lot of stuff out there in 2010, I think. So Eric Decker and Doug Baldwin. Doug Baldwin's going to be a beast on Sunday. If you don't know who he is, you'll know who he is. You'll know who he is on Sunday.
Well, I can't deny that he's got a good first name, but, I'm looking at some of his autos here, and it looks like his Contenders are going for $8, too, so right on par with Patton, so that's another guy. I mean, literally, you could probably buy, you know, pick four or five guys, one from each team, right? And spend, you know, $7-$8 on four of their autos, and you know, as long as one of them hits, you can basically pay for the rest of the autos, and then maybe even sell the rest at a break even. So, I mean, this is a good time for football. You know, unlike baseball, where you have to sit and wait on prospects, this is where you can make some money on football. So, if you're looking to unload your collection, start digging through those shoe boxes of cards and see what you got from, you know, 2011 breaks or 2012 stuff from any of these teams. You know, there could be somebody that breaks out and, you know, maybe put them in a little separate area, watch the game and see who's making an impact and throw one of those cards up there.
Well, I mean, why don't we do we can probably do a little competition here. I mean, why don't we pick one guy from each, why don't we buy a card from each, one guy from each team? and see who gets the better return on investment. Two of those guys are going to make the Super Bowl. There's only four teams left.
Right.
So
All right. I like that. Let's.
I'm down for that. I'll do that challenge.
That's a good idea. We can do it by percentage. So if you want to take the chance and buy Cap or Peyton or Brady, and you want to spend the, if you want to shell out the dough, thinking that's going to be the sure winner, you know, it's all in the, we'll do it by percentage. So, you know, if you buy a $5 honor and sell it for $10, you know, you might be the winner. So, let's. That's a good idea. Let's do that.
Yeah, you got to pick one guy from each team.
One guy from each team. I like it.
One guy from each team.
Man, I'm genius.
I want winners.
Yeah. Dude, you're getting a little ridiculous on the little samples here. It's like turning into that Always Sunny episode where they were doing a podcast and it was like nothing but samples. Nothing but drops.
Well, my goal eventually is, you know, maybe we won't even have to talk. I'll just make enough samples that I'll have a conversation going on with myself.
Nice.
Great idea.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Is that Office Space?
That's a little Office Space drop, yeah.
Yeah, Office Space, yeah.
So I'll lay off that for at least another 5 minutes. I'll let it kind of simmer and actually have a real life talking. But you know, I uploaded some new ones, and it's like a new toy. You got to press the button, right? I'm sitting here watching the audio clip soundboard, and I'm like, oh, that would be cool. And I'm waiting for you to like kind of lead me in. So it's, you know, it's an art form that I have not mastered yet.
Cool.
So, yeah, I'm up for that challenge. And if anybody else wants to, you know, join the challenge or create their own kind of challenge and, you know, see what you do, that'd be a fun kind of ROI contest. And, you know, we're playing some fantasy sports, but I think we're out of it. So it's kind of like a fantasy sports card eBay kind of thing. So kind of gives you, like, another reason to watch if your team's not playing. So a fun little event. So we'll do it up.
Yep.
So... But who's your guys' picks? Dan, you're probably not going to pick the Niners. You're going to say the Seahawks, but we'll start with you. Who are you picking for the Super Bowl? Who comes out ahead this weekend in the championship weekend?
I'm going to go with what I consider the obvious, Seahawks and Broncos.
What do you see in the Seahawks to make that bold prediction there?
Home game. It's home field advantage. I think it's going to be a close game, but I think it's based on home field advantage. Seattle's really tough at home. We all know that. And I think it's going to be close. I just don't think the Niners are going to come up on top. And it's not because I, you know, hate the Niners so much. I mean, I do, don't get me wrong. But I just don't think they're at the caliber. If this game was in San Francisco, I think the Niners would win. I think home field advantage is going to be the difference in the game.
All right. Well, duly noted. Ryan, what are you thinking?
I'll go San Francisco, Denver. I think with the AFC, I just think it's Peyton's year. I don't know if the New England is as strong. They don't have kind of that go-to receiver. Gronk is out too, if I'm not mistaken. We know where Aaron Hernandez is. So it's going to be a tough, like Dan was saying, Seattle is the toughest place to play at this point in the NFL. So, but the Niners are on a roll here. They've won two straight road games and have beat two pretty good teams. So Niners, Denver. Any team that wins, it's going to be a good Super Bowl. These are like four perfect teams kind of to be playing. So either way, it's going to be good, but I'm hoping for Niners-Broncos. That's a rematch from the last Super Bowl Joe Montana won, I think, when he threw like 18 touchdowns on John Elway. I remember that blowout.
1990, I think.
I think that was 1990. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that game.
Yeah. Yeah, that was in, like, New Orleans, I think, right? It was an indoor game.
I think,
it was like 55-10 something.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go against the grain. I don't know why. I just had this feeling that the it's going to be Patriots-Niners. And, I mean, either way, with the Broncos, too, it's going to be a good – either way, there's going to be some great storylines. I mean, but I do see the storyline of Tom Brady growing up in the Bay Area, having that kind of storyline, idolizing Joe Montana. Now he's going against the Niners for his last hurrah maybe at a Super Bowl. I know he's got a few more years, but, you know, he's already a Hall of Fame quarterback. But I just – some reason Peyton chokes, and I think for some reason this year, I know he didn't. He usually chokes in the first game, but he didn't. I just think he's going to choke against the Patriots. I think there's going to be their defense is kind of struggling. Both defenses are, but I think Denver's struggling even more, a little bit more. I mean, San Diego could have won that game. They would have stopped Peyton on third down. They could have won that game. The Patriots won, kind of, you know, easy with LeGarrette Blount with four touchdowns. Tom Brady didn't even throw. So. I just think it's going to be – and a lot of home games have been winning in this playoff. Home teams have been winning in this playoff. I think there's only been three away teams. I just think that the away teams are going to win this round. It's mostly been home teams except for the Niners all the way through. So that's my prediction. And obviously I'm going to pick the Niners because I'm not going to pick the Seahawks because I'm a Niners fan. But that's my homer. But either way, it's going to be an exciting day of football. Man, this is probably going to be the most watched championship Sunday ever, just because even the casual fan's going to want to see Manning, Brady, and Kaepernick, Wilson, defense against defense, and Hall of Fame against Hall of Fame. I mean, so, man, get your popcorn ready, as T.O. would say. Get your popcorn ready.
Man, people love their football, though. I don't even think you need to have the extra storylines. I mean, with the storied franchises that are still in it, I think that's just enough. But, I mean, would people not be watching if it was – people are still going to watch if it was a Chargers-Panthers Super Bowl. There was still going to be tons of people watching it. I mean, it's not as sexy as like a 49ers-Broncos or 49ers-Patriots or Seattle-Broncos. I mean, but still, I mean, you could put – football is – it's the cash cow right now. I mean, no matter what is on, no matter what game is on, it can be a Thursday night game with the Texans and Titans, and you're going to have more people watching that than if you were to have a World Series game on. I can guarantee you the Thursday night game when, let's say, in October, the Thursday night games were probably had better ratings than the World Series games that were on Thursday. Or the ALCS or NLCS. It's just football is king right now.
It is. Well, let's face it. I mean, we all have low attention spans. I mean, we all stare at our phones. Baseball is a 7-game series. I mean, each game you can miss one game. I mean, football it's one game and you're out. So I think that's why it's 16 games. You don't really have to pay attention to 162 games. You know, I love baseball too. Don't get me wrong. I think the average American just doesn't like to sit there and watch a 9-inning game. I think football is a perfect sport for low attention span these days. It kind of goes back to Idiocracy, you know, with the just you kick them in the balls, you know. It's like action constantly. So that's going to be a lot of action this weekend.
Yeah, I just think it has to do with it has violence. Tons of people bet on it, so it has money involved. And it's just, like, always, it's always action-packed. I think it's like, I mean, that's why it's king. So,
yeah,
we can move on now.
Well, before we bring Sergio from Sports Card Album on, which he's going to be on in about 15 minutes, I did want to do a little take. There was a product that came out last week that was actually solicited for only like 4 days from one distributor. It's a buyback product, and I know we talk about buyback products a lot, but it seems like that's what the trend is in this industry lately, is there's a lot more buyback products coming out. And a lot of them have some great ROI, and there's some pluses. Leaf does a great job, and I think Leaf is still king of the buyback products. Brian Gray knows what he's doing. But there was a product, 2013 Graded Gallery Football, and it was made by a company, I believe, you know, and I may be wrong because I don't have my box sitting here anymore, but it's like Creative Collectibles, and they had their email on the spreadsheet with their website, but if you go on to it, there's no website, there's no pictures. And so we got pitched it, and we decided, hey, we're going to buy a box and open it ourselves rather than sell it to our customers because, you know, we don't want to push a $300 or $500 box on our customers and walk away with nothing. So We actually had a lot of success in our box. We pulled an Andrew Luck rookie contenders auto graded 9.5. So, I mean, that paid for our box. But the rest of the box was pretty subpar. We got a Stephen Magee auto from 2009. We got a Tom Dempsey buyback auto. It wasn't even graded. And who else? So we got a DeMarco Murray and a Sam Bradford auto. So overall, our box actually was pretty good. But I started watching some videos because I was just interested in this product, that a company can come out and somebody could sell you this product, and there's no name or website behind it. It just kind of befuddles me in this industry that we could do something like this. And, you know, I started watching a couple case breaks of this stuff. And you're supposed to sell the packs. The breakdown is it's two boxes per case. And each box has five individually packed BGS authentic cards, BGS graded cards, or a booklet card in every one. So you could sell it by the pack for $100 if you want. You could sell it by the box. You could sell it by the case. So I sat there and I watched the case break, and I watched every single card, and I noted it. And I watched several others, and they were all around the same. So somebody did a case break. They got an Andy Dalton certified auto numbered to 50, which on eBay at 9.5, but it sold for $40 on eBay. Tavon Austin patch auto to 100 from this year's certified BGS 8, sold for $25. A McNair auto from like 2004 Elite Extra Edition BGS 8.5 is a $45 card. Andrew Luck non-patch non-auto patch numbered to 149. Joe Theismann Sweet Signatures panel card, Gronkowski rookie to $9.99, Forte auto to $10, T.J. Yates rookies contenders auto graded 8.5, which was a $3 card. 2009 exquisite Peyton Manning just a patch, and a Ron Mix auto. So I added it up, and it's supposed to be an SRP of $1,000, and the card value was $378 that they got on return on investment on that one. Oof, that hurts. So, and I've been watching a lot of them. There was a Nick Perry auto in one of them, lots of David Wilson. Somebody pulled a Bobby Rainey graded auto. So my opinion on it is you got to do some research on what sells. I know you have to make money when you do a buyback product, but just from what I've seen so far, whoever this company is making 50 to 60% margin on a buyback product, which really takes no creativeness other than buying the cards. So it's just, I mean, what did you think, Dan?
Well, my issue with the fact that they don't really have a website, there's no real contact information, so there's no accountability. They can put out, I mean, with no accountability, they can put out essentially anything, just a one and done, make a couple $100,000 and never hear from them again, can't contact them, can't go to their website, so they're not held accountable for anything. If this is the trend that keeps on happening, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. Everybody's going to be in a lot of trouble in this industry. I mean, because the trend is that you're just seeing these buyback products pop up like crazy. And if they have no reputation and they're not a reputable company, then, I mean, who's going to stop somebody from doing a cash grab like this? I mean, I'm not saying that. And I mean, this is hard for me to say because we did open up a box and that's probably one of the best cards I've ever pulled. Like definitely for myself, I've never pulled anything that was worth that much. But that was like, you look at the other breaks on this product and you look at the rest of the box. I mean, you're supposed to sell each pack for $100. Somebody would have bought that pack at a card store. The one that had the Stephen Magee, that's a 50 cent card. That you just got charged $100 for. Like, that's ridiculous. I mean, Why not just put a base card in there? Like a nice Tony Gwynn 1988 Dunross, just slab it up in there. I mean, put it right in. I mean, it's the same thing. it's a 50 cent card. Yeah. It's insane. I think that I don't think these distributors should jump on board and be like, you know what, we can make some money here. Let's go ahead and push this product, and let's not hold these guys accountable at all. Just whatever. Just push it out the door as fast as we can. And, I mean, that's why when we talked about this a couple weeks ago, or about a week ago, that we were going to buy a box, we were like, we both were on the same page. We were like, I don't want to buy a box of this stuff and sell it to our customers not knowing what to expect. So
right.
we were gonna bite the bullet and see what we got, and we did well, which I don't think is gonna be the norm for this product. But I don't know. I think somebody has to be held accountable.
Right, and don't get me wrong. People should make money if they put together a product. I understand that. I'm not asking for somebody to make a buyback product and they lose money on every box. I'm just saying, let's lower the margin. Let's not try to be so greedy and make so much money on these buyback products and, you know, shortchange the customer. I mean, in the long haul, everybody's going to figure out that this product isn't worth it and this company's not going to be in it for the long haul. You know, you have to keep putting out value for you to keep doing products and be able to have second releases, because nobody's going to buy it after this. But there's so many more ways you can be creative with this product and add value, that so every single person that buys a box or a pack walks away with something. You know, I mean, what if you even, I mean, I don't know, could you, I wonder if it's against the bylaws to put a pack of, like, Topps Chrome in a buyback product, like an unopened pack. I wonder if that would be against the law, like just as an extra bonus. Like if they bought, you know, cases upon cases of an old product and just put packs in there with your buyback. Ryan, do you think that would pose some legal challenges? Could a buyback product put in a sealed pack of another licensed product?
You know, you see those things at Target, they come in like a cube or something, and there's a mixture of Pops and up or that. So I think, I don't know. I don't know for a fact, but because it looks like it's being done, I don't see why not. Do you guys think Leaf is kind of established as a buyback kind of brand, and there's kind of been all these little one-hit wonders who have come along. How many companies do you guys think could pull this off successfully and release, you know, at least three or four products a year? What I'm trying to say is, how much market is there for this stuff, I guess, on the group breaking level, and is it sustainable? Like, how many companies like Leaf could exist, do you guys think?
I think you could have a couple of them, but it all comes down to putting value in your product. It all comes – I mean, if you're going to – you don't have to worry about, you know, printing. I mean, you have to worry about packaging and marketing. But if you're going to do a buyback product, you don't have to worry about license fees. You should be able to run – your profit should be 10 to 15 points at the end of the day. And you should still be able to make – depending on what kind of print run you make or what kind of case run you make, because you're not really printing anything – you should be able to make like $50,000, $75,000, maybe even $100,000, depending on how much you make, and still put 70 to 75% of value back into your product, maybe even 80% value. I think if somebody did that and did it on a consistent basis, I think you would be able to sustain a couple of those buyback products. You wouldn't be able to flood the market with them, because at some point, you're buying essentially, it's all the same thing. But if you had a couple people who were doing it that were reputable and they were putting value in it, and they were just completely transparent about it, saying, hey, I'm going to make 10 to 15% on this run. All the rest of the value is going straight into the product. And at that point, it's all about you buying basically the person who's putting it together. It's all about them buying the product or buying the parts of the product and the cards at a good value, and maybe buying it in bulk.
Well, so, and what I And what I noticed with this product, and, you know, I don't know who set it up, so, you know, this is just my opinion, obviously, is it was kind of lazily done and put together really quickly. At least that's what it seems like to me, because you got autos of Steve Slayton. There was a Steve Slayton I saw somebody pull, a book card of Steve Slayton. I mean, this guy played in 2007 or something for a couple games for the Texans. There's no reason he should be in there. There's no reason T.J. Yates should be in there. There's no reason Nick Perry. So what they did, in my opinion, was they basically went to some card shows or they contacted a few people and they bought 2,000 cards at once at a, you know, a good deal, pennies on the dollar, and they got the whole collection and they used every single one of them rather than weeding out, hey, this no one's going to want a Steve Slayton. No one's going to want a Stephen McGee. Nobody's going to want this guy in this buyback product. And then they anchored it with 20 or so major hits like the Aaron Rodgers rookie auto, the Andrew Luck that we pulled. So they just bought a bunch of collections, and then, you know, the packaging was good. I'll give them that. The packaging was nice. But, you know, it just was kind of lazily put together, and they didn't really have their finger on this hobby. You could get away with putting a sick multicolored patch of, like, Junior Seau that you could probably acquire for $30 or $40, and somebody would be really happy with something like that because he's, you know, he's a legend, or you know, like a Patrick Willis you can get for cheap. I mean, he's going to the Super Bowl. Something like that you can get for cheap as your filler cards, but they didn't bother doing that. They just bought, you know, a big lot of cards, and they inserted it in the product, and it's just, you know, really bad as it's coming out as people are ripping it.
Every card, like, since we're talking about this product, it's real easy because it's only five cards, and there's no other, like, it's not like they have sketch cards in there where they're paying extra money to acquire the sketches and stuff like that. It's really just the card, all right? So you basically, the SRP for each pack is $100 card.
Right.
And every card should at least get you back $40 to $50, period.
Right.
Like, there's no excuse for you opening up a $100 SRP pack and getting a 50-cent card. Or a $1.50 card. Every card. There's enough cards out there. If you scour eBay, you can pick up a bunch of $30, $40 cards, no problem. And I think if you did something like that, it would take off. If somebody opens up and goes, you know what, there's a chance that I can get, like, you know, one of the Chase cards. It's maybe a $500 card. It doesn't need to be like a $10,000 card, but maybe a $500 card. And knowing that you could get that, in the worst case scenario, that you're going to get a nice card for about $40, I think the consumer is willing to take that chance.
Right.
It's the, I can get a chance at a $500 card, or the other opposite end of the spectrum, I can get a 50-cent card. That doesn't fly. That
right.
doesn't fly at all.
Yeah, and we'll definitely continue this conversation as, you know, I'm sure more and more buyback products do come out over these next few months, and some have came and go already. So, but I want to go ahead and bring on Sergio from SportsCardAlbum.com. I actually just uploaded my collection, and I'm kind of navigating the site, and it's pretty awesome, and I have some things I want to ask him about the site and his goals and stuff. It looks like there's 123,000 cards and counting, so a lot of people are starting to use it. Just, again, sorting through and seeing some just beautiful cards that people have pulled and that are in their collection that probably some of these won't even, you know, make it on eBay, so you'll never see them. Just people are showing them off here on their own little portfolio that they have on sportscardalbum.com. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and bring on Sergio here. Sergio, what's going on?
Hey, good evening, guys. How are you doing?
Good,
what's
good.
Going?
How about yourself?
I'm doing great, thanks. Still kind of sick to my stomach thinking about that Stephen McGee $100 box there. I pulled a Stephen McGee platinum patch autograph hand number to 5 from SP Authentic back in 2009, and that was right when I was getting back into the hobby, and I was so stoked because those things, you just couldn't believe it. The Matthew Stafford was thousands of dollars, and so I was, you know, kind of hoping Tony Romo would twist his ankle and they could put Stephen McGee in for one game. And next thing I know, he's not even in the NFL anymore. And that card, I ended up getting offered $15 from a friend because the friend was an Aggie. That was him making a kind gesture to offer me $15 to take that one off my hands for his Aggie collection. And, so when one of the best cards you could possibly get of a player is $15, boy, that's a depressing $100 investment there.
Yeah, I guess at some products he's kind of. I guess he's making a resurgence. So you know,
I hadn't heard that.
Well, so, thanks again for coming on. And before we get into the site, tell us a little bit about your background, how you got started in this hobby, and if it's, you know, how you got started with everything, Sergio.
Sure. Well, I collected stuff forever, and growing up in the 90s was all cards. You had a card shop on every corner. Grocery stores all sold cards, so the football, the pro set, you know, Fleer Ultra Basketball and Upper Deck Baseball and just everything in between. I remember even Collector's Choice. That was a fun set I put together with football. And so my little brother, my older brother and I, we'd all collect cards forever. And then I think sometime around high school to college, I just forgot all about it. Forgot people even collected. When I moved to Florida after college, I had a friend that was at the local YMCA. He knew I was a big Baylor fan, and one day he shows up with this picture of a Baylor guy, a football. It was a Sage Hit base card of Jason Smith, and he was in 09. He was the number 2 pick in the draft. Ended up being a bust because of concussion issues. I just couldn't believe that here's a football card of a Baylor player who, you know, right now we're doing fantastic, but back then we were just, you know, you didn't see a Baylor player in the NFL.
Right.
You know, and we lost and lost and lost. So it was pretty incredible. And that got me into it. So then I was immediately started going out and looking for cards and buying them at Target and Walmart. And then, kind of a miraculous day, the day I realized there are still hobby shops out there, and I found a card shop in Orlando and began going over there and getting back into it, and just my mind was blown at how much the hobby had changed with jersey cards, patches, you know, autographs, and then got involved in the Beckett forums, made a lot of friends there, and kind of, my wife jokes that I'm not very good at hobbies, because as soon as I have a hobby, I kind of become a little bit really into it. And so before long, I was just all over there and trading cards on the forums and putting my collections up on PhotoBucket and whatnot and doing all that stuff. So kind of took off from there.
You also have a blog, right? You have Busting Packs. That's
your blog.
Yeah.
So, right. So that actually I started doing around 2010. End of 2009, beginning of 2010, I always liked doing graphic design just as a hobby. And so I would make random mock-ups of cards that I had in my imagination, or holy cow, it would be so cool to see this card or this other card. And so I would basically mock them up in Photoshop. And so I wanted a place to put them, paid a local guy some money to make me a WordPress site just on Craigslist. And I did the graphics, and he made the thing. And it ended up just doing box break reviews of different stuff, you know, whatever I bought at the card shops. And I'd do little reviews and all that stuff. Got a couple of my little designs that I made published in Beckett and whatnot. And so, kind of kept that going. And after a couple of years, got sponsored by some of the manufacturers. And so they began sending me some more materials to actually do more reviews and giveaways and all that stuff.
Sweet. Yeah, actually, I was on your site reading your basketball season review, which was just awesome how you guys kind of laid it out with, like, kind of relating it to actual basketball awards. So I was reading that, and a lot of the same products that I like were, you know, winning here, so we're on the same page with that. But
hey, you know,
tell us a little bit.
I can't take credit for anything other than the graphics on that one. That one was the first article by a guy who's followed the blog for a long time, followed us on Twitter, and his name is Jeffrey Detter, and he just emailed me this article and said, hey, I put together this if you want to put it on your site. And I was like, holy cow, this is fantastic. likewise, I agreed with a lot of the points he made. And so I said, let me dress this up, put some pictures on it, and we'll definitely post it. And so we got a budding writer for the site for the basketball cards there, perhaps.
Nice. That's awesome. And tell us how the When Sports Card album went live and what kind of motivated you to start sportscardalbum.com.
Sure. So, sometime last year, I'd say February, March, sometime right around this time last year, right just in the new year, PhotoBucket changed. They upgraded their whole thing, and it was already kind of a cumbersome. It was just a hassle. The majority of collectors are still on PhotoBucket, but it's just become frustrating. Rather than being able to say, I want to see 100 pictures in one page, you can only see 20 at a time. And you have to go page to page to page, and they have all these forced advertisements and Nissan commercials and whatnot that pop up and videos and video every time you upload a card and all this different stuff. But what really frustrated me was when they can no longer show the entire picture of the card. So it actually just show, you know, now if you use PhotoBucket, it's great for family pictures and things like that. But if you've got a sports card and the autograph is on the bottom half of the card, let's say it's a vertical card, you can't see the autograph. And so I was sitting here on the Blowout Cards forums trying to trade cards, and I said, Trent Richardson, he was still hot at the time. And so I said, yeah, check out the Trent Richardson autos in my bucket. And they're like, there's no Trent Richardson autographs in there. And I said, yes, it is. It's on the front page. He said, there's no autographs on there. And so you have to go, and if you look at the thumbnail, you can't see the autograph. It's completely cut off. And that's the case for the majority of the autographs, but a lot of them you can tell which cards are going to be autographs. You just have to click on it, wait for the image to load. Then you can see that it's got a thing. And so my whole thing was, yeah, I can add cards to PhotoBucket from my cell phone, but I just had this idea one day, and I said, I'd love to be able to take my camera or my cell phone, take a picture of a card. Let's say I'm at the card shop in San Antonio that I like to visit when I'm over there. Take a picture of a card that I just busted and immediately enter the title, the description, if I'm selling it, you know, a trade value and whatnot, and press one button. And when I get home, it's automatically on my computer. All the details are there, and everybody can see exactly what I pulled. And so that was kind of the idea. And I've got a friend that does development. He does, you know, he's a programmer, a developer. And he's done all these things, so I offered him. I asked him how much something like that would cost. It was a lot more than I could afford, but he said, you know, I'll make it, you know, for you if you want to make it. I'll do it for a lot less money. And this was still at this point just for me. I was asking him to make something just for me. And so he made it, and he made a very, very rough draft version, but this guy's just brilliant. And so he made a very rough draft version. And it somehow exceeded my everything that I was thinking in my head. So I trade very differently, or I collect very differently than the majority of people, even on Sports Card Album. I found that a lot of collectors are very unique individuals. And we've got people with 900 albums. I have like 8, and I'll never need more than that. I've got like football, basketball, baseball, Baylor collection, and that's like it, you know. And some people have just sub-albums for sub-albums for sub-albums for sub-albums. But when I realized, wow, I am in love with this, got a couple other friends to test it out. They loved it, and I said, well, shoot, if this is something that works for me, I'm an avid collector, you know, maybe we could turn this into something that a lot of people can use. And it kind of snowballed from there in a slippery slope into just going, you know, head on into this thing.
Nice. Yeah, I really love the layout of the site. And, you know, one of the goals that we've been trying to do is, like, have, like, trade nights, things like that, because, I mean, these things are called trading cards, and I don't think we have really any platform to trade on anymore. And I think with what you have, being able to check the cards for trade and stuff like that to kind of create that conversation is awesome. So is there any kind of plans to kind of push trading on the site, or what kind of goals do you have for that aspect?
Great question. So that's a question that we get asked a lot. Initially, you know, my my whole thing is this is entirely made to be a supplement to people that engage with other collectors on the forums, right? So you've
right.
got, you know, Freedom Cardboard, you know, Hobby Kings, Beckett, Blowout Cards, et cetera, Sports Card Forum, all these different forums that collectors use, and that's where they trade. And so I was making this so that you get your image codes instantly. And unlike PhotoBucket, you know, you click on it, you get three different size image codes. So if you like to do a giant picture, a small picture, whatever. But it just lends itself so much to trading that we've been bombarded with people asking for additional trading features. So one of the cool things that we've done is the majority of the features we've added to the site have been user recommendations or user requests. And that's what we continue to do. We create new features as people recommend them, and we're always trying to get more feedback on what people want to see. But from a trading standpoint, I don't really want to do a forum. We've got a little chat room that's seldom used because some people still don't know it's there. We haven't really marketed it heavily. But we've got a chat room that people can chat on, and the people that you follow and that follow you, you can chat with them, and we've had plenty of trades go down that way. What we'd like to do is, first of all, going back to the forum thing, the reason I'm not a fan of actually creating a forum ourselves is because other people already do it. They do it really well. And then you got to have all the things about having moderators and the people complaining, oh, somebody stole my card and all this different stuff. And it becomes a big headache that would take away from what we are really good at, and that's being a photo management site for collectors. But the cool thing that we can do is we're going to be creating some additional trading features. Right now we kind of have all new features on hold while we launch the iPhone app. And so the iPhone app is literally weeks away. And this is the first place we're announcing that. We've been very, very secretive about that. It's been a couple months, many months in development. And it's finally almost here, and it is really, really, really sexy. So I'm really excited about that. But on the actual computer, you can see if you're on the thing, you can hover over any card in grid view or row view. In the bottom right, there's an option for the sharing stuff, the typical Facebook, Twitter. The green one is to message someone about a card, and a little thumbnail pops up, and you could comment them. We're going to be adding features that allow you to send a card to someone else. So after you've got, we're also going to have some additional trading things, but you go and say, click a button, send this to a user, pick the user from your friends list or from what, you know, just typing it in, send the card, it automatically will go into your archive, and the card will automatically go into their folder or their album.
Okay.
So when you actually make a trade, let's say I make a trade with you for a Robert Griffin card and I send you an Andrew Luck card, I click a button, now all of a sudden you don't have to scan the card again when I send it to you. You've automatically got the scan already in your collection. And you can start sharing pictures of that wherever you go.
Yeah, and I was actually just going to, as I was surfing the site, I seen a little dialogue that you can, you know, click and ask if, you know, you want to trade me for this and stuff like that, which is cool, and it's just super easy to navigate. And I uploaded 79 pictures, and it was, it seemed like it was faster than, like, when I do Google Drive stuff. So, I mean, it was extremely quick, or my WordPress site. So it was really fast to upload the photos, too.
Oh, happy to hear that. Yeah.
So, and you have all the necessary information. I actually put in about 30 of my cards. I named them and put all the details. But you can put, you know, pretty much everything you need to know about the card within your details, which is awesome as well, which you weren't able to do that with PhotoBucket. So this is definitely, you know, for the collector. Mm-hmm. So if you guys haven't tried this out there, sportscardalbum.com, you know, show off your collection. You know, it's really easy to use, so I definitely recommend it. And what kind of goals do you have going forward? I know we talked about the app and stuff like that coming out. Is there any other improvements down the road that you'd like to implement on the site?
Oh, big time, big time. So right now, a big thing that we've got is, you know, we're always trying to engage with all the collectors and figure out things that they want to do. A neat thing about Sports Card Album recently has been the last couple months we've been hit up with a lot of requests. We've been seeing card shops, local card shops, posting their big hits, you know, Panini posting pictures of their new products before Flawless came out and stuff like that, Root Breakers posting pictures of their big hits. And so we've got some real, real neat ideas. I had an idea a long time ago talking with some friends about someday some companies like Heroes of Sport or Packout Products or things like that that you guys were talking about earlier, or on a smaller scale with some exclusive products from the big manufacturers. We've got redemption codes, but having a code on the back of a card where you just enter enter that code on Sports Card Album and you've already got a scan of the front and the back, all the details, et cetera. Something like that I think would help with patch faking and cataloging cards, but really using this to bring everyone that's involved with the hobby, from manufacturers to card shops, group breakers, collectors, all together. One thing we've recently launched that we're going to be doing about once a month is adding, as requested, verified accounts. So companies like card shops or group breakers or whatnot are going to have some, they're going to be able to have a background that allows them to brand their homepage on Sports Card Album as they would brand their website or their Twitter page, and also have access to a couple additional features like videos and linking to videos within the card so that you can see where the card was actually pulled or watch the video where the card was pulled. And some other features like that that we haven't, we're not really ready to announce yet. But for us, right now we've got about a dozen cool features that we want to add just because they'll be cool. But then we've got a couple big things, like obviously the trading. We've still got some basic things, bulk deleting and some other options that people want. But ideas are limitless, and believe me, we get new ideas and new suggestions from people every single day. So the list just, you got to prioritize and all that stuff. But our goals are kind of, this is just a really cool thing. The more I use it, I'm a fan of the site. It's like that, what's that product where the guy's like bald and he's like, it's like Hair Club for Men. I'm not just a customer, or I'm not just a president, I'm also a client or something. It took me a while to get there on that one. But I'm a fan of this because I collect and I trade cards and I sell cards and I buy cards on the forums. So my goal is to really get all these great people that are involved with the hobby together and kind of collaborate to come up with some new and different ideas that help the hobby as a whole move forward. So that's
definitely,
is pretty generic, ambiguous answer, but it's the best I could do.
No worries. And Ryan, I know Ryan had some questions. Ryan, you want to ask Sergio some questions?
Yeah, Sergio, I think I even heard you mentioned it just a second ago, but I think you even brought it up today, maybe on Twitter or something, about kind of these fake patch cards. And it's kind of I don't want to say common problem, but it is a real kind of negative thing because when you see these type of things, is there a way, do you have any ideas about that? Is there a way to put up like, hey, here are all these fake patch cards that we've confirmed fake, or categorizing fake patches in a way? What are your thoughts kind of on that? Because I thought when you brought it up today or when I was thinking about it, I thought how useful that would be. And, what are the challenges with that, doing something like that? And is it something that you've thought about?
Spectacular question. And you're right. It is a big problem. But that is one of the things that personally as a collector really grinds my gears, to throw Peter Griffin your way. It's these patch fakes on the SP Authentics, the Exquisites, and all these cards. There are a lot of obstacles, and it would take a lot to get it done. I think Sports Card Album could help with that. But we've had a lot of people put a really solid effort into trying to figure it out, trying to solve the problem, or at least list everything they can. I know Adam with Sports Cards Uncensored, would do all these things on patch faking and try to warn people about 08 SP Authentic, 07 SP Authentic, and all that. The website I linked to today was fakepatchhunter.com. This person, I don't know who the person running that is, but they've done a good job periodically. It's just every once in a while, because obviously this isn't anybody's job. Nobody's making money off of this. It's just somebody out there trying to do some sort of good for the hobby. I've seen on some forums in the past where everybody gets hyped up and everybody gets together and say, let's list in a spreadsheet form, in a Google Doc, in whatever form we can, every single, you know, Sam Bradford, SP Authentic patch auto that comes out. I saw this happen in 2011 when the 2010 SP Authentic came out. Every Tim Tebow, and let's see if we can catalog out of the 999 or 399, whatever copies, as many as we can, and put a picture and put a serial number and put a link to it, it dies. It goes away. People lose interest. People forget about it, and it's really hard to manage. From a manufacturer's perspective, Clay Luraski's touched on it before, and he just said it's, you know, none of these companies have extra resources and people that don't already have stuff to do. They don't just have somebody sitting there that, you know, doesn't have anything on their plate and they can just take on a big project like this, photograph, you know, if you're thinking 999 cards per player, you know, we've got 40 players that are typically at the rookie premiere, so you're looking at 40,000 cards. You know, are there any mass scanners, you know, anything like that? So there really aren't, and it's really tough for a manufacturer to do anything like that. It's essentially impossible, cost prohibitive to do anything like that on such a large scale. It would take a community effort, but I think one of the things now with cameras getting a lot more high resolution, an idea I had for Sports Card Album was, and this actually wasn't my idea, I don't remember who suggested it, but one of these people that's a big advocate for fake patches. I don't remember if it was on our Facebook page or our Twitter page, but somebody said, you can have a company take a picture, and they put a link to a picture that one of these manufacturers posted out where they had, 100 cards on a table, and they took a picture of all 100 of those cards ready for pack out. I think it was 2011 Exquisite Football, or 2012 Exquisite Football. And I think they had like 50 cards, 100 cards, whatever number, and they took a picture from bird's eye view. And so I thought that'd be, or somebody suggested, how about if they send that picture to Sports Card Out? And so I was like, that's something really cool that we could offer something like that, where a company just sends us, you got 100 players at a time. I'm sure it would still take time for them to take pictures 100 at a time. But it's an idea. You know, if you get a table and you spread out 300 cards at once, now you might be talking about something slightly reasonable. If a company has an intern, this could be something that they can ask the intern to do. Take a high-res picture from there. Even if each individual image is not going to be gigantic, beautiful, high-res, you'll have an idea sequentially of what patches exist within this product, and we can write a program that chops up those, 300 that are in a scan and import them all into an album for that product and have a live catalog so that we can prevent patch faking or at least discourage it. But you know, there are ideas.
Well, I just,
bottom line, I think it would take the entire community to kind of watch out for that.
Well, what about this? I don't know how hard it would be, but what if they actually put a lot of people don't look at the back of the card anyway. What if they actually put a picture of the front of the card on the back of the card, like a real small one? And that way you could compare it and say, hey, this is how it looked at a pack out, and now it looks like this. That no one would even try to fake the card at that point, but I don't know how logistically it would be possible.
How would you take a picture of the front of the card before you printed the card? Because the back of the card is going to be printed on at the same time as the front of the card.
Well, I'm thinking maybe on some of the thicker cards where there's several pieces involved in making the card. You know, I know it would be kind of tough, but maybe if they knew it was a single-colored patch, they could put a code on the back of the card or, something that is actually on the card that would help
or even
kind of determine.
Good point. Or even take a photograph of the entire plate, before they print it. Panini's shown some behind the scenes, and you've got a giant roll the size of a table when you roll it out or bigger than a table. You could take a picture of just the patches and, jot down with a pen and paper on that picture, this is, this belongs to Quentin Patton. And this is Quentin Patton's 1 through 199 of this patch auto. And send us that, and, you could just take a look and look at those patches. They've all got them sequentially. So something like that. I think there are a lot of different ideas that can be thrown out there. I think we definitely could figure something out.
I hear you. Yeah, definitely. Go ahead, Ryan. I don't know if you had any more.
I do, actually. Sergio, so it's actually kind of a selfish question, actually. So, like, somebody like me who has a website, sometimes I'm looking for a picture of a card or something. Is there permission to take, I guess because you're sharing these things can be shared on forums and stuff, can I take a photo off Sports Card Album, put it on my album, link to it, maybe if they, like, clicked on the photo, it took them to the album. But I guess my main question would be is, if that is the case, what if that user deletes that photo? Will it break the link to my website? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, so the cool thing about this is, short answer is no. You get two options when you delete a card. And so when you go to delete any card, it says delete this card or delete this card and the hosted image. And we did that specifically to avoid the problem of people deleting cards from their albums and now they don't work on wherever they've been embedded. So if you just delete the card, it will still appear wherever it is. Or you could delete it with the host image if you so choose. For if you've got your own website, we've got additional features for bloggers and people that have websites. So you can actually, we've got Cards Infinity, Sports Cards Uncensored, Live Case Breaks, and a handful of different people that actually have their albums embedded, sportscardmagazine.net, that have their albums embedded into their website, whether it's a sidebar or their actual thing. So you can actually click on the word embed at the top of the page and type in the dimensions you want, which album you want, and it'll create an embed code for you that you could stick on your website, and anybody that browses your website can see your collection.
Nice.
The other cool thing for trading on the forums is it's actually got an image code where you copy the code, and when you paste it into a forum, it actually says the description, serial number, cell value, all the details, whether it's an autographed rookie card, memorabilia card, and all that stuff, just by pasting the image code. So different little things like that, and both the embedding album and the additional features when you just paste an image code were user-suggested ideas.
Nice. And about how many users do you have roughly that are posting stuff? Or how many pictures do you have, and roughly like how many users do you have?
We've got I can see the cards right now. We've got about 123,000 and change cards uploaded since I guess the end of July, then we've got. But really, the vast majority have been in the last couple of months since we created bulk uploading. In the beginning, you could only upload one card at a time, which that's kind of a frustrating process. So now you can upload as many as you want, and we've got the bulk editing and all that stuff. Users, we've got somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 at last I checked.
Nice. And you mentioned the Apple app. I was uploading some cards on my phone, and it was on your regular just website, and it was like super easy. How are there additional features on the iPhone app?
Just hug you for saying that.
it was so easy.
Awesome mobile app. I don't know how old you guys are, but you're probably my age or around there, older. 30, somewhere like that, right?
Yeah.
Are you guys? Okay. So for us, at least for me, I love my computer. I want to see this Sports Card Album to me is gorgeous on a computer. But you look at the analytics, and we've got a substantial percentage of our users. I'm talking, more than 50%, probably closer to 75% of our users that use the website exclusively on their phones.
Yeah.
Don't
go
on the website, which is mind-boggling to me. I can't wrap my head around it. But these are the people that, you know, so the mobile website is fantastic. And the beautiful thing about the mobile website is it works on every phone, doesn't matter what kind of phone it is. If you're going to spend the money, apps are insanely expensive, and you've got to make one phone, one app for the iPhone, one app for the Android, one app for whatever else, and you've got to pay different people to do them sometimes because not all companies do them all. And so it's a tough process. But the beautiful thing about the apps, number one, is people like that stupid little icon on their iPhones. They want to have that. But two, people love the idea of getting notifications. And I think that's the main reason that I wanted to do it, was because if I want to make this something that people really engage with and are always, you know, people that collect cards, we're always thinking about cards. We're always checking the forums on our phones or whatever and seeing what new cards are out there and looking at box break videos. You know, I get emails all the time from Mojo Break when they're doing their group breaks. And, you know, if I'm at a computer, I pull it up and I'm just watching a break, even if I'm not participating in it, I'm just lurking to see what kind of cards people pull. And so the idea that you could get your notifications and, hey, somebody liked your card. Oh, somebody commented on your card, you know, wants to trade for it. Things like that. Somebody messaged you about this. There hasn't been an app dedicated to sports card yet that I've seen that's really done right. And so this is one where it's going to have some really nice options. Like taking pictures with a mobile phone, it can be buggy and different models. You've got, you know, 10 different types of phones and then 10 different updates, and, you know, that's really under-exaggerating. We've got hundreds of models of phone, every one with a slightly different operating system. And so we'll have a percentage of people that say, oh, what's the problem? My thing's not working, or, oh, I can't upload a picture, or my image is rotating itself automatically and I didn't tell it to rotate. And so there are some things that the mobile site, for users like me, where all I'm doing is adding a card and adding details, it is more than sufficient. For people that want to use, you know, check comments, like cards, and try to trade with people, and people that are just using the entire, want the sports card album entire kind of experience on their phone, you need to have something custom made. You know, you'd have to have the actual app. So that's kind of the way we're going. We've got about just under 93% of our users are on the iOS, Apple's operating system, so that's why we decided to go with the app first, or the Apple app first. And you know, we're going to be selling it, and so hopefully, you know, I'm basically going to try to pay for the Apple app, finish paying for the Apple app, and B, fund the Android app by selling this. And so I'm not sure how people are going to think about a $3.99 app when you compare it to other apps that are 99 cents. But in my head, I'm like, that's one pack of retail cards, and the entire service is free. So hopefully collectors don't mind spending $3.99 for a really, really great app.
That's cheap.
They'll spend spend $500 on a box, so they hopefully they'll spend $3.99.
Exactly.
I keep seeing in the chat, you know what I keep seeing in the chat is to ask you about Topps, the Gold Premier Soccer, and your thoughts on that, Sergio.
Sure. Where'd that come from?
I see that in the chat room.
Oh, let me see. Oh,
yeah.
You guys somewhere? Oh,
yeah,
cool.
Trevor,
bro.
Yeah, he just asked. Trevor's asking, what's your thoughts on the English Premier League Topps new soccer product?
I've got a box in my hand right now, unbroken.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm going to be busting that and doing my review and giving away the cards through Sports Card Album here shortly. The reason I actually held off on it is because I know a little bit about international soccer. I'm a fan, but I haven't followed the Premier League enough. And so I really wanted to research this and look into it and really get a good feel for who the players are and what's going on outside of the ESPN, you know, SportsCenter top 10 that we periodically see. So, you know, you get 10 hits in a box, 5 autographs and 5 memorabilia. But what's really exciting, I mean, you look at the prices of the base Cristiano Ronaldo autograph or the Pele autograph, and I think they've got a small list of like 6 mega superstars, and you're supposed to get at least 2 autographs in a case from that huge superstar list. And so I think it's exciting. You know, every time the World Cup comes around, you have people complaining and you see all the commercials and you start seeing people get hyped up about soccer. And, you know, I've never gotten super into soccer. I'm one of those people that's a fanboy during the World Cup. My mom's from South America, so when we would visit over there, we'd be fanatical World Cup during the summers when we would go and visit over there. But in America, I always just see them faking crap and jumping on the ground and pretending like somebody kicked them, you know, and here you got a hockey player who's got all his teeth knocked out and stitches and who's getting up and playing with a broken leg. So that's my personal thing. But you've got, you know, this is the biggest sport outside of, well, I want to punch myself for even saying this, but NASCAR sells a lot of crap. I don't pay attention to NASCAR, but this is a global sport. I mean, and this is the goal for manufacturers. You've got Topps trying to do a gold glove treatment to a sport that is really a redheaded stepchild in our hobby, because as Americans, I'm American football, basketball, you know, baseball is huge. But around the world, it's soccer. And what these manufacturers would love to do is get football cards. Basketball cards are already global, but baseball cards, the goal is to expand the actual reach of the hobby, right? Get
right.
People in other countries buying football cards, American football cards, the way Europeans and Asians buy NBA cards. Get other countries buying baseball cards the way they do in, you know, some other parts. I think Hong Kong buys some, you know, Central America buys some. But soccer is something that is 100% global. And so I just think it's awesome that you finally have a high-end product with a high-end price tag, but it looks like they've done a really good job. I've looked at a lot of sales on eBay of the different cards. They've got some nice memorabilia, quite a few sticker autographs. But when you've got autographs of, you know, Pele, I mean, it's just a pretty, pretty awesome thing, especially when you've got the superstars falling two to a case. And like I said,
right.
Cristiano Ronaldo's base autograph is going for $400 or $500. Parallel versions, yeah, exactly. The parallel versions, the gold numbered out of 50 and whatnot, those things are at $600-some-odd with days to go left. The base one doesn't even have a serial number on it. I don't even know. They might have made 1,000 copies of it, but it's selling for $500. So actually, I wrote down a couple things for my review. Looking at the front page of eBay and sorting it by price of completed sales, price first, there were over 100 cards that have sold for over $30 in the last couple of days. And
wow.
Like, you're paying $200-some for a box, but you got a lot more than two superstars selling for $30, $40, $50, $60, $70, $80, $90, $100. I'm excited about it. I can't wait to bust it. I've got a friend here that's, I think, from Ecuador. Yeah, Ecuador, Venezuela. I don't know how I can forget where my friend is from. We're not that good friends. But I actually invited him to come over because he's fanatical about Premier League. So later this week, he's actually going to come over and visit and participate in the group break, be my first guest ever, just so I have kind of an expert insight into the Premier League while we're busting the packs.
Awesome. Yeah, it looks like some of the designs actually remind me a little bit of this year's Finest, the patch, kind of the patch
yep.
looks a little Finest, but, you know, they put the soccer spin on it, and they look beautiful.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and having the, you know, having some of the insert sets for, you know, the countries as well, you know, because you've got people like Pele that only played for Brazil. Played primarily for Brazil, so having that, you've got people all over the world that collect Brazil soccer. It's like the, you know, Chicago Bulls of the world, or the New York Yankees, I guess I should say. I'm just not a Yankees fan. I like the Bulls, so.
Right, right. And once again, if you guys are just tuning in, we're talking to Sergio from sportscardalbum.com. And before we let you go, I wanted to ask you, what are your thoughts on 2014? Just, I know it's a very vague question, but what do you think this hobby needs or doesn't need for 2014?
Well, 2014 is looking good. It needs exactly what 2013 didn't really have, and that's some superstar keynote rookies. You know, 2012 is going to go down as one of the greatest years in sports card history in terms of the rookies that just
broke out. But you've got the athletes that are collectible, and the ones that people go after, the ones that drive the product, are the quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers to a lesser extent. It's really quarterback-driven. And this year, you know, we had a little bit of manufactured hype around Geno Smith and E.J. Manuel, but when you don't have a quarterback taken in the first round, it doesn't bode too well. And it's good for football because football, you need the offensive tackles, you need the linemen. But the thing that drives our hobby, and it's not just, oh, manufacturers selling products. If products don't sell, it's the group breakers, it's the local card shop owners, it's the distributors that lose out a lot on a lot of its money. And so it's good for everyone when a product is selling out. It's good for everyone when Andrew Luck is, you know, doing all these heroics and making come-from-behind victories, and Robert Griffin III is getting Rookie of the Year, and Russell Wilson right now kicking butt. That's good for the entire hobby, everyone down to the card shops. So I think 2014 has a lot more potential because love him or hate him, you got Johnny Manziel coming. I'm not a fan, but you've got there's no doubt that he's going to drive a lot of sales. He's an interesting player. So you've got Teddy Bridgewater. You've got Blake Bortles, who's just ridiculously, you know, got a ridiculous upside, 6'4", 6'5", can run, throws a rocket, and seems really, really smart. He could be, you know, he could end up going number one or number two. You really don't know at this point. But there are a lot of really top quarterbacks coming out. And then you got people like Jadeveon Clowney, the once-in-a-decade kind of defensive player that actually sells products. We saw that in 2010 with Ndamukong Suh, where Ndamukong Suh, that was a ridiculous hit. If you pulled a Ndamukong Suh, you were smoking. You were posting that all over the forums. And so I think 2014 is set up to be a really interesting year, and I think it's got great potential. Can it match 2012? You never know for several years. I don't think so. I think that's a pretty really high ceiling that nobody's really going to hit. But I think it can be, you know, it can far surpass what we've experienced in 2013 products.
I agree. I definitely agree. Cool, man. Well, once again, the website, sportscardalbum.com, and Sergio, did you have any last words or anything that you want to say about the site or anything
else? No, I think we've covered
it.
I wanted to thank you guys so much for having me on. I really appreciate your time and, you know, allowing me to ramble as I do on so many random topics. I've had a good time, and I appreciate everybody. If you guys, any of you listeners, are uploading your cards on PhotoBucket or anything else to trade on the forums, check out Sports Card Album. You've got unlimited space, unlimited storage for messages, front and back of your card, a lot of other features. It's basically photo management made specifically for card collectors. So I hope you check it out and check out the app when it comes out sometime. I think first week of February.
Definitely. And we'll be definitely promoting you. We'll, you know, have you on again soon. And, you know, we're working out a trade night that we want to use for Mojo Break, and maybe we can use, you know, your platform to do some trading with, because it would be great if everybody had their cards on there and we're able to just to kind of pop the pictures in the chat or however we decide to do it, whether it be Google Hangouts or on Ustream. And we could definitely incorporate that with you, and everybody has easy access to their cards.
Awesome. Awesome idea. Absolutely. We'd love to be a part of it.
Definitely. All right. Well, thanks again, Sergio. We'll have to have you on again soon. And once again, check out sportscardalbum.com. Thanks again, man.
Thanks, guys. Have a great night.
You too. Sweet.
All right.
Guys got a lot. Good guy in the hobby and a good site for the hobby. So, can't wait to see the app because I got an iPhone and I can't wait to see it. I know Dan can't get it, so ha-ha. But I can't wait to see the app and, you know, get this kind of thing working on with some trading because I just don't think, I mean, really, it's called trading cards and there's really nothing out there that, you know, really trades. I know COMC was trying to work something out, but I think this would be a better option and a more viable option for trading.
Absolutely, no. I think so. Sergio's a really good guy, and if anybody knows anything about me, that takes actually a lot for me to say that. He's a really good guy. I met him, I remember, at the national convention this last year in Chicago. Really passionate, really cares about collectors, and is really doing a good thing over there. And I uploaded, I don't have very many good cards, but I uploaded like four or five cards on my phone. It literally took me like 2 seconds. It was really awesome. So I don't have an Apple either, but I'm sure once he, it's kind of impressive that he's actually doing an Apple app first, because that's actually, that's pretty difficult. So he should probably, once he gets his Apple out, I bet his Android won't be as difficult a job, I wouldn't think. I don't know that much about apps. I know they're very expensive. So so pay the $3.99 out there if apps are expensive to develop. So pay the $3.99 just to so that he can recoup some of his cost on there if you have an iPhone, because it should be really awesome. I mean, his regular website that he has right now on the phone is awesome. So I'm sure that the app is going to be really cool. So I'm excited about that.
I definitely agree. I kind of vaguely kind of looked briefly on getting an app that incorporated with our site, and yeah, it's a little bit of change there to get somebody to work on an app and code it, and there's really, you know, compared to web developers, there's the app developers are really, there's, you know, it's a small percentage, so they can really kind of dictate the market, so. But, yeah, so, I mean, that's one thing, I mean, if you did incorporate trading, I mean, let's just kind of look forward. With if you incorporated trading on a site, you'd almost probably have to have like a third, like if you actually did, you'd almost have to have like a third party that would hold the cards. I mean, if you were doing trading, how would you do it, Ryan?
I may go the feedback route. I know that on the forums they have some feedback kind of thing. I actually met a guy. I only met a couple of collectors locally where I'm from, and one of them collects sets, actually, ironically, and the other one told me all about going on forums, like the one Sergio was talking about, and doing trades, picking up trades for baseball prospects and stuff. So I would just do some kind of feedback thing. I think you could do an escrow service. That's actually an interesting idea too. Maybe for cards that are more valuable, you could do some kind of third-party escrow service. I hope that someday Check Out My Cards does some kind of trading thing where you could trade cards that you have on there with other users. That would be amazing. I would probably spend – I have about 6,000 cards still on there, so I'd probably spend all day doing that type of thing. But I think you're right on to something, Doug, about trading and how there's not – I don't want to say there's not good ones, but there are – you know, you have to get involved in these forums, and you probably have to build up, like, some posts and some reputation, and that can take a little while. So,
right.
You know, there's some opportunities there for Sergio and for other people to just help collectors connect. You know, and make trades, make deals, whatever it is, just help them connect in a way. And I think what Sergio is doing is really amazing. And hopefully I can – I'm going to a card show in a couple weeks, so hopefully I can buy some cards and then upload them on Sports Card Album.
Yeah, because, I mean, with the influx of group breaks and just people opening hobby boxes, everything is – you're not going to get, you know, if you're a Quentin Patton guy or, you know, like we mentioned before, you're going to get a guy that you probably don't want. But there's a guy in San Diego that wants a Keenan Allen or a, you know, Manti Te'o that you could just easily trade. So, you know, and like a lot of our customers, they get into random breaks and they get a team that, you know, maybe they don't want, but they get a big hit and they're like, oh, I'd easily trade that for a John Elway or something, you know, or something from their own team. So there's definitely a market, and I don't know – you know, it would have to be worth it for somebody to run something like a trading service where they would get some kind of return. Like, that's probably why COMC has kind of swayed away from it, because they really don't have a way to make money on it or something, rather than just keeping people on their site.
Right, right.
So, but I wanted to talk about a few products that came out last week. Pastime Baseball came out, as well as Prism Jumbo, and start with Dan. I haven't heard Dan's voice in a little while. What did you think of Prism Jumbo last week?
Prism Jumbo. What a product. I mean, you want value I mean, it was value for days. Every pack either had like an auto or one of the it was an orange, right? Orange die cut that was like number to 60. Purple. It was orange, right?
It was orange, yeah.
Orange. Just killer value. You got gold. You got gold opportunity. You got. Seems like the golds were like falling about 2 to 3 per case. Get a chance at a black parallel, which I think it was. Is it a mosaic black 1 of 1? Is what they were calling it.
Yep. Mosaic black. Yep.
Mosaic black, and just great value. Had some old school autos, some rookie autos. It seems like. It was almost about 50-50 vet autos to rookie autos. And just overall, card design looked good. It was the same type of card design as last year, you know, real foil type, real high gloss look to them. Sticker autos, but again, great value. And I see those boxes going up probably north of $200 at some point.
Yeah, I think they're already selling on major retailers for $179 a box, so it's already pretty much dried up on our end from the distributors, and that's a direct reflection of the print run, which, I mean, they should maybe take some notes and maybe realize that maybe a smaller print run on some products like this or anything coming out in the future that they maybe don't know about, maybe just make a smaller print run, put more inserts, more numbered, more value in a product. I mean, we see how well Brian Gray does with 250 case runs of products. Maybe this is something that they're going to look back and say, wow, this thing sold out. Like, you know, we sold this product out within a couple of days after release, and now the secondary market's popping on it, and collectors are loving it, and it's good value, and, you know, all the other good stuff about the product. Because Prism Jumbo or Prism NBA is probably the best-selling of the Prism brand. So hopefully there's more to come with lower print runs on certain products. In 2014.
And I actually sat there and thought about it. And the way this was pitched to us from distributors is there was no mention of Prism Jumbo basketball coming out, period. We didn't even know about it. And then we got pitched probably about 2 months before, actually maybe about a month before they actually released it. And I think Prism basketball hobby had already been out and it just got released. So, you know, if they did this more often, and I was sitting here thinking, I'm like, man, I'm like, it's shady that, like, you know, they were in the process of making it, but they didn't pitch it to us. But it actually added so much more value to it, because if they would have pitched it at the same time as hobby, well, then nobody would have bought the hobby product. They would have all bought the jumbo. So there would have been shelves of hobby stuff sitting at distributors just devaluing because everybody wants the jumbos. And then they start with the whole, like, allocation thing where if you buy 2 cases of hobby, you'll get 1 jumbo, and then everybody has a bunch of extra product, and that devalues it because everybody's going to try to liquidate the hobby stuff to get more jumbo and just to, you know, get out of their investment. But I actually liked how they did it. You know, it's if they go forward with it, it's going to be kind of a guessing game. Every time they release a product that has a fair amount of base cards, you're going to be like, well, are they going to release a jumbo? And I like it, them playing it close to the vest and not actually telling everybody that. Because, you know, it kind of evens the playing field, and it helps out the distributors as well. I mean, the distributors aren't going to complain about not having to sell both at the same time.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. And I just I think this is true testament to the print run of a product on how well it could do. And you know, Prism Regular, I guess that's the word, or Prism Hobby, the non-jumbo version, did well too. So, I mean, it's a good product for the basketball market. Now, the only thing I am seeing with this product is the oranges aren't selling as well as I thought they would. I mean, I've seen some Kyrie selling for $15. So I expected it to be a little bit more, but, you know, the rookies seem to be the ones that are selling. I mean, the guy from the Bucks that we call GA, and I won't try to say his name, he actually said his oranges are selling for like $40, $50. So it seems like the orange market is going rookie-based, and I think Michael Carter-Williams is selling for $100-$150 on his oranges. So it seems like the LeBron, the Kobe's aren't selling as well as I predicted with the oranges, but there's still value to be had with the oranges.
Yeah, I think it's that Giannis, I can't even start saying his last name, but yeah, GA for the Bucks.
Yes. And, you know, if you hit one of those golds or anything, I mean, if you get a couple golds, I mean, you're doing one of these.
Doing a happy dance.
So, you know, you're dancing around your room, you hit a black or a gold, you're good to go.
Yeah, I think we hit, what was it, on average about two golds per case. I think one case had three, and then we hit a black in each, right?
Yes. Well, I think that's three cases, we hit two blacks.
We had two blacks.
Yeah. So, actually,
the blacks look amazing.
Yes.
They look killer.
They do. That they do. And I wanted to give away a spot in our contenders break tomorrow, but I do want to give it away to somebody that has a sports card album user. So if you don't have one, create it now and see if you can get on the Google Fast Fingers and create a username for sportscardalbum.com. And I want to give away first person that calls in and gives their username for Sports Card Album will get a half case contender spot and for tomorrow's break on mojobreak.com. And the number is 347-855-8815, 347-855-8815. And if you already have an account, you already got that, you know, you can call in first, so, or just create one real quick. Actually, it looks like we do have somebody that called in already. 403, what's going on?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Pretty good. Who are we speaking with?
You're speaking to Andrew.
That's what I thought. What's up, man?
Not much. How's it going with you guys?
What's
good.
What's
and
up?
I already know your username. You put it in the chat, so winner, winner. You get a spot in the tomorrow. Yeah, nice.
Sweet.
So have you done any interacting on Sports Card Album? Have you interacted with any users, made any trades or any purchases since you've been using the site?
I have actually had a couple people message me to do trades. The one guy wanted cards that I wasn't going to trade because they're on my personal collection, so I just said no to him, and I actually just got another message yesterday, and I haven't looked at his album because I haven't had time, but he listed about five different cards of mine that he wants, so I'm going to take a look at his and see what he has to see if I'm going to make a trade with him or not.
Nice. Good stuff, man. That's awesome. Well, have you got your hands on any titanium yet?
I have not. I'm going through a few personal things right now, so I haven't bought any cards the last month or so, but the next purchase that I make is going to be a box of titanium, though.
What have you watched any of the breaks yet? I know some of the guys up in your neck of the woods have already been breaking it. What do you see so far with the product?
I have been watching the breaks. I've seen quite a few hits that people have been posting, and it looks like it's breaking pretty nicely. Like you get a good mix of cards, and the quality is fairly high on them as well. So I'm enjoying watching them.
Nice. Well, as we speak, you know, Dan and Ryan are driving up there to get some, so we should have our
case.
we need a place to stay, too.
We need a place to stay, yeah. Andrew, so I'm sorry that we're buying a couple of hours. So.
Okay, yeah, just text me, no problem.
Nice.
I'll build up a nice little bed in the snowbank for you.
Thank you.
Stick a few Molsons out there for them, and they'll be good, you know?
Exactly.
Well, sweet, man. Yeah, we're going to be doing our case break next Wednesday of titanium. So, but we'll have you in that contender's case break tomorrow and see if we can't pull you something nice.
Cool. Thanks very much, guys.
No problem. Thank you. Talk to you later.
You bet.
Cool, cool, cool. Yeah, actually, somehow I had to, I felt like it was kind of a drug deal to get titanium, but I did secure some titanium for us for next week. So rest assured,
well,
if you're in our break and you're wondering.
That's the reason why I went out and bought a new car. I was heading up to pick up Ryan right now, and we were just going to go.
The Dodge Viper.
We're gonna go hang out. You know, yeah, my commuter car, the Viper. We're gonna take that one, and we're gonna basically catch some hockey games and just maybe check out the Raptors. What's up?
Yeah, DeMar DeRozan, baby.
Yeah, I mean, load up on some coconut water and just blast it up to Canada.
Nice. Yeah, it was a real crazy process of trying to get a hold of this stuff. Man, I literally felt like I was, you know, trying to get some heroin or something. Pardon my French. I don't know if I could say heroin on the air. I just did. But it was literally like I was trying to secure some drugs just to get a product that I pre-sold that was pre-sold to me and then was pulled and labeled a Canada-only product. So pretty crazy kind of thing that happened with Panini with that one, but rest assured, we got some. So hopefully we get something nice in that case break.
So you're telling me I don't have to go to Canada?
No, you're good, man. You're good. Just keep those miles off that new Viper from your buyback product.
Well, it was Ryan's buyback product. He made so much money on it, he just bought me a Viper.
That's right. Series 2 coming soon, guys.
Yeah, Doug, you didn't get your Viper?
Not yet. It's mine's customed. It cost me $200,000.
Well, no. See, the thing is that like he had a redemption in there for a Viper, and since I basically opened up the whole print run,
right.
I
You're
got the Viper. I'm your only customer. I spent $1 million for my Viper, but I got some really nice, like, Stephen McGee and some really, really nice TJ Yates and all that good stuff. So, you know,
yeah,
I won.
Winning.
Winning.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go start looking for a new Lamborghini tomorrow because my buyback product is in the works, and I'm figuring I'm going to make, like, you know, $350,000 on it, so...
The Lamborghini was also a redemption in Ryan's product, but I think he may have held that one back. He's like, I'm gonna wait on this one.
That one might have stayed with the company, as they would say. So.
Well, that's a replacement. You're gonna hold on to that one, and
if your Viper breaks down, I'll show up in a yellow Lambo.
The redemption expired 2 days after the product was out, and that box never made it out for some reason. So it stays with the company.
Yeah. Well, you can't send everything out. You got to hold some of the print run back. You got to.
Yeah, exactly.
You know. So.
Well, I was hoping
yep.
that I could get, you know, with the titanium, do I get the free health care with it or two or no? No. I just had to shell out like $260 a month for health. I mean, you guys got it right up there in Canada. Health care should be free. I'll pay a little bit more on my taxes. But health care around here is it's a lot. It's too much.
The government should start giving redemptions for health care.
There you go. Now you're thinking about well, back into some products. You know, Dan wasn't around to open up Pastime, but I think he's seen some of the videos. I really had high hopes for Pastime, and it had some good aspects of it, but I don't foresee it going up. I'll tell you that much. I'm going to kind of tread lightly here because we have 25 boxes still. But, you know, I'm going to tread a little lightly on how I review this product. But, no, I mean, it has some good points. It's just I expected more. I mean, on the heels of a killer product in National Treasures, baseball that came out at the beginning of the year, I guess I kind of had some glimpses of National Treasures, and it really wasn't NT. It was its own kind of animal. It had some good obscure autos. I mean, you get some Jake Buhner, some Steve Sachs. There was some guys that you just don't normally see, which is cool, which is a collectability to all those guys. There's probably Jay Buhner collectors out there. And, you know, the NT, they have NT cards in there. A lot of them are redemption. Those are pretty clean. They got the first Yasiel Puig book cards, I believe, unless he was a book card in five-star, he may have been. But it's the first book card of Puig. And there's some big things to be pulled, cut autos and stuff like that. But I don't want to say it's a horrible product, and I don't want to say it's a great product. So I'm going to say it's kind of right in the middle. But I think there's some aspects they could have done a little bit better job on it.
It reminded me of, and this probably isn't going to help us selling the 25 boxes we have, but, and you know, this product, for whatever reason, kind of got a bad rap. I opened it up, and I didn't think it was really that bad, but Hometown Heroes, the card design kind of looked like that. It was like a higher-end version of that card design. With more hits and book cards and that stuff. But it seemed like an upgraded, higher-end version of Hometown Heroes, which is probably not a great selling point. But that's what it kind of looked like to me. I haven't opened up enough of it to really have a vast opinion on it, but that's pretty much where I'm at. The card design was a little, I don't know, it didn't have that real clean National Treasures look to it. It had kind of a real busy, for a lack of a better word, cartoony type look to it.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. I just and what I heard, why National Treasures was such a success, and this could be rumor, it could be true, it makes sense though, is they acquired, you know, Donruss obviously, and they had all this old stuff. And from what I've heard is they kind of blew their load, so to speak, lack of a better term there, on NT, and they used pretty much what they had left. And so now they don't have a lot of these old jerseys, stuff like that. And so they're kind of limited on how that, and that's why people are saying they're not coming out with an NT baseball this year, because it would just pale in comparison and bring up tons of criticism. So they're kind of trying to do their best thing that they can do with it and put out this kind of a product. But it does seem like that could be the case, that they went through all their Donruss stuff with like the Willie Tams and the Ted Williams bat relics and stuff that they had in NT that was just absolutely sick, the cut autos that they used. So it does make a lot of sense, but let's see, hope in the future they can acquire some of that stuff, because I think their baseball line is just dying. I mean, it's bad. I mean, the Prism was bad. Perennial Draft Picks was bad. Elite Extradition is solid because they can do that well. There's six autographs. There's really not a whole lot of products at a $90 price point where you can get six autographs. So that they do well with that. But beyond that, I mean, there's really not been a solid baseball product from Panini. And I don't know what it's going to take.
My issue with it, and my opinion on Panini and baseball, and don't get me wrong, I love what Panini does. I'm a big fan of Panini. But when you look at their baseball category, they're trying to compete with Topps. And in my opinion, you cannot compete with Topps if you don't have logos on your cards. You have side of the box, and you have to go beyond what Topps is doing. So you can't do the single color.
Leaf is competing with them, and they are on the same playing field, except they don't have the MLBPA.
And I understand that. And I'm gonna get to that. I'm just saying, like, you gotta go outside the box. You gotta basically, you see what Leaf is doing, and they're making smaller print runs. So they're putting, you know, multicolored patches in there, and they're like doing some innovative things that is making it, from the collector's standpoint, seem like there is more value there. And it gets collectors excited, and they go after these cards because it's not the same design or the same looking type of card, same market, same everything, just without the logos. they cannot compete with Topps without logos unless they go outside of the box and just go beyond and make multicolored patches and get some guys. And they have the Players Association license, so they can get some guys that Leaf can't get.
Right.
So they can acquire some autos of guys who have collectability. They just have to find those guys, and they have to market those guys.
Well, you're right. They have done that with Mark McGwire. Roger Clemens is in there. You know, why don't we pay Barry Bonds $80 an auto? Let's get him in the set. Let's get Barry Bonds in the set. Panini can do it. Why not? We've always talked about this,
but why don't we get the Canseco's? Why don't we get the McGuire's? Why don't we get the Sosa's? Why don't we get the Bonds? Why don't we get, like, the Luis Gonzalez's? I mean, let's face it. Like, the 90s steroid era is, like, non-existent in our hobby.
Right.
There's your niche right there. Go after the players that Topps doesn't want to touch. They don't want to associate
right.
their brand with those players. Take the risk. Go after those players.
McGwire is now going to be in 2014 products for Topps, so they're starting to make that step because he's going to be in Tribute. He's going to be in Finest. So they're starting to get him. The case with Bonds, and Canseco's actually in Pastime. I don't know if he has autos, but he has jerseys in there, so Canseco's in there. But maybe Bonds is pricey. Yeah, we all know how much Barry Bonds, doesn't want any cards or licensing and stuff like that. He protected his name, which was probably smart, but he may want like 100, 150 an auto, and these card companies are probably just like, shh, we're not going to touch it.
I mean, you could name off a lot of guys in the 90s that I have never seen an auto from.
Right.
I mean, there's tons and tons of guys. It's like a whole era of baseball that's like, doesn't want to, like, people don't want to recognize it. They're like, oh, well, that was a bad time. Let's not do it. I mean, you see like guys like Matt Williams. You see his
right.
autos, like, floating around. You don't see any Palmeiro. I've never seen a Rafael Palmeiro auto, unless it's been, like, older, like, early 2000s. But definitely nothing current. Obviously,
yeah.
Sosa. How about, like, Larry Walker? Did he do anything in like, NT?
No, I haven't seen him in a while either. He was in NT. I remember seeing.
I think he had patch autos. But like that's another player. I mean that's a good baseball player. Why not? He's got to have some collectability.
And he has a phenomenal looking auto, if I remember correctly. His auto is like almost kind of like Randy Johnson's auto, where it's kind of like just a cool looking auto. Takes pride in his signature. So that would be.
And I know NT also had Roberto Alomar, but you don't see tons of Roberto Alomar autos.
Right.
But I know NT had it. So maybe that's what NT did right, is they had guys in there that you just didn't see in every product.
Right. And they had the right names like the Trouts and the Harpers. They had just the perfect mix of who would you want? And they brought value to the bat relics with Gehrig and, Cam and guys like that. That everybody, a Babe Ruth bat piece, you can't complain about that. You know there's not a whole lot of cutout autos of Babe Ruth out there. So a bat piece sells for $100-$150 sometimes of Babe Ruth. So.
And I can't think of it. Maybe I'll think of it in a second. But, never mind.
No, I hate when that happens. That's a sign of getting.
Never mind. It'll come back. It'll come back to me when I hang up the phone.
Well, think that pretty much sums up the show. I don't know. You guys have anything else to add, Ryan? Anything to add on to the show or anything?
No. Pretty soon I'm going to solicit, if there's anybody listening, I am going to solicit somebody to help me write up show notes that I've been trying to get on my own website for a long time. So I'd probably be offering at least $100. I have some written myself, but so there will be a job opportunity. I got to get organized with the ones that I have already and then which ones I need. So they would be show notes for our show that we're doing here. So
sweet.
Maybe next
sweet.
Week I'll so a job opportunity in the sports card world. And you know what? There's another podcast too, that sports card podcast that started Beckett does one. I listen to maybe, I don't have a whole lot of time to listen to these things, but I listened to maybe like 10 minutes of it and it seemed pretty good. So,
who's, is
you know.
It Suze that's hosting it or?
No, you know, it's a couple guys. I don't know if I've ever met the guys that are doing it. They might be more involved with grading, or pricing or something. I recognize the guy they had on, Dan Hitt, who is done editorial stuff, and I think he does pricing, I think. Yeah, I think he does pricing. So check it out, though, because it's what I listened to it, it sounded good. So I listened to like 40 different poker podcasts, so, and there's like, I don't know how many baseball card ones, maybe 5 or 6. So there's actually a kid, 14-year-old kid, who emailed me who's doing a sports card show, too. So there's actually more,
oh, nice.
More sports card podcasts out there than people think. You kind of got to hunt around for them. Maybe at some point on my website I'll have to archive them all or put links to them all or something. So I don't know. I feel like I've sports card radio is our my brother and I's domain. I feel like we owe it, you know, to put or categorize all the sports card radio podcast or something, you know, or all the podcasts about sports cards somewhere. So maybe we'll do that.
Yeah, and I actually just listened to Colin, and he had his friend on. God, I can't remember the guy's name. He's got on Twitter a lot.
Dan. Yeah, Dan.
Yeah, Dan Rowe. Yeah, they just did a show. It was a great listen. I was actually at the gym this morning, and I downloaded it. And, yeah, it's probably the one time a month I went to the gym. And I listened to it, and, yeah, it was a really good show. So if you guys are looking for something else to listen to while you're at work or whatever you're doing, Sports Card Radio has got a great show, and check out their site as well, always, sportscardradio.com. But that would be really cool to have the links. And you're right, sometimes it's really hard to find it. I didn't even know about Beckett. I didn't know about these other ones, and I'd be willing to listen to them as well. So
We'll have to work on that. I'll have to work on that. One, I want to get an archive for every show that we've done, and I have only a few of them. So I will be paying. If somebody needs some extra cash, I will be paying. It'll be really simple. You don't even really have to write that good. I can show you an example of it. And so hopefully next week when we come back, I'll have details and job description, and I'll be accepting applications.
Yeah, we have some spots that we want to fill for jobs here at Mojo Break too. So maybe not next week, because we'll have you do yours. But I want to get some things going for having people help out maybe on social media aspects of our business. So you know,
awesome.
And we can maybe have a job opportunity show. People call in, we could just
I love
interview
it.
Them on the show.
it's a job fair. We'll do interviews live on the radio. It won't be
there
awkward at all.
No, not at all. And you know, we'll go on your Facebook, and if you know, we'll see what kind of person you are. No, I'm just kidding. We'll be stalking. cool. Yeah, that should be interesting. So yeah, we'll talk about that next week, and we'll get more guests lined up too. So I think that really kind of makes it more interesting, because you know, you hear all of our voices every week on a weekly basis. I'm actually surprised that some of you guys still listen to our show, because I know it can get a little dry at times. So we need to have more interesting guests like Sergio, which was an awesome interview, awesome person, and awesome website at that, which is sportscardalbum.com. So we'll have more guests coming up, and we'll keep this thing rolling.
Yeah, buddy.
Fantastic.
So, awesome. Other than that, we're out. Mojobreak.com. We got 3 breaks tomorrow, baseball, football, and basketball. You got Prism Jumbo. We got a baseball mixer with some five stars, some Elite Extra Edition, Sterling's in there, Tribute's in there, Museum's in there. And we got a half case Contenders. It's only $29 a spot, and that gets you 36 autos. So a good opportunity for only $29 a spot to get a big name auto or just an auto in general. So check that out and check out sportscardradio.com and sportscardalbum.com, and we'll catch you guys next week. We're out. Peace.
Later.
Later.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Sports Card Live, sponsored by sportscardradio.com, mojobreak.com. Check us out every Tuesday live at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern, or download us on iTunes.